Advancing the Kingdom, Part 3. Now, for those that are just watching online or just coming in, we've already had the altar call, so to speak, here before we even get into the sermon. We were here at a time just of praying and just a time of calling upon the Lord. We need help. And in this message, Advancing the Kingdom, Part 3, it should speak volumes to us today, because the kingdom of Satan does not want the kingdom of God to advance. And so Satan will only attack what does not belong to him. And so, if you are not doing the will of God, then in a sense, you have to question yourself, are you of the kingdom of God? You see, Jesus says that no one can enter heaven unless he is born again. John chapter 3. And what does that mean to be born again? It means that you repent of your sins and that you make a decision to follow Jesus the rest of your life. He is your Lord. He is your Savior. You believe that he died on the cross for your sin and that he rose physically from the dead. See, the world laughs at that. But you, that is your anchor of eternity right there. And because you believe in that, that is your salvation. You didn't do any kind of work to receive the freedom of sins, the forgiveness of sin. Only Jesus did that work on the cross. But you see, that message, that's the gospel message of Christ that's going out throughout the world to this very day. And that is the responsibility of the church. That is the responsibility of the church to do this job. Of course, we're filled with the Holy Spirit, and of course, we're filled with his righteousness to do these things. And Satan will come against us to destroy that work. And I'll be here to tell you right now, there is a great sifting going on in the body of Christ worldwide today. Now, I'm not sure if Miss Valeria has that picture that I gave to her. Do you have that? Are you able to show that? Okay. Last night, the White House was to a degree attacked. And there was a lot of protesters that are, you know, have a death attitude towards Israel. And there's a picture on the New York Post taken last night, put on the page today, of a man in a black silhouette form holding up the Palestinian flag on top of the pillars of the White House gates, and with the White House in the backdrop at night. And when I saw that, you know, now Palestine is not our enemy. Satan is our enemy. But I will tell you this, our nation is falling apart. It has fallen apart. You know that. But I want to go even deeper than that. Before a nation can fall, the church would have to fall first. And the church, the Bible-believing, Holy Spirit-filled church, will never fall. It will never bow. It will never give up. It will always fight the good fight of faith. But within that true Bible-believing church, there have been many, many Christians who have walked away, who have abandoned the call of God in their lives. Here in this church and in many churches throughout the world, it has happened. And I don't want you to be discouraged at the sight of this, but be more encouraged, because this is evidence that your God is real. Hallelujah. This is evidence that Satan is attacking what will destroy him. I believe that every person who is a Christian must serve the Lord Jesus Christ with all their mind, body, and soul. And if you do not have that conscious decision, that decision in your heart to do this today with your time, with your talents, with your treasure, you're not going to make it. because Satan is good at looking for gaps in your life. And the Bible warns us to not leave a foothold for the devil. And there are so many footholds in your life. And don't think that you can not abandon Jesus, because I've had many people in my life say, I'll never walk away from Jesus, and they're in the world today. This is Advancing the Kingdom, Part 3. In James chapter 4, verse 13 through 17, I want to talk to you today about time. You honor God and worship God in three ways: time, your talent, and your treasure. Your time is so important. You need to be on time because God is always on time. There's no wiggle room for this. It's implemented in our ministry. It's implemented in our personal lives that we must be on time. I talked about that this morning with a couple of people about how we have to get back to things that we implemented first in our ministry in 2007, and how we have walked away from these things. These were biblical safeguards that allowed us to say, you know, we have to understand that He is worthy of all our time, all our talents, all our treasure. And people who have the spirit of the world in them, they're just not going to hear these things. But you have the Spirit of God. So let the Holy Spirit speak to you this morning. In James chapter 4, 13 through 17, James says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not even know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then what? It vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this and that. But now you boast in your arrogance, and all boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. There are a lot of people that should be serving God with their time, and they're not doing it, and it is sinful. Period. You cannot wait for man to tell you anything. The man within you must hear the Spirit of God. Nobody told me to be a pastor. God told me. And nobody's going to tell you to serve and do this and to do that. The Lord will tell you. And if He has told you, then you must go. You must do. You must follow. And if He has told you nothing, is it because do you really want to hear what He has to say? Because I know one thing about God. God does not waste His time. We do. He doesn't. If you don't want to listen, He will not speak. Now, some people could get real detailed and technical. Well, you know, God has been telling me, but listen, I'm going to tell you right now, God does not waste His time. It's precious. He's eternal. He's outside of time. But to deal with us, there is time. And the Bible says to draw upon Him while He is near. Isaiah says that. For the sake of others. We cannot be boasting, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, when we can't even make a conscious decision to follow the Lord daily. We're so interested in planning vacations, and we're so steadfast on doing this and doing that and seeking this career and seeking this relationship. But yet we cannot even make a decision to follow Jesus faithfully. Have I won any souls for Jesus? Have I sown or watered the word of God, the seed of God, into someone's heart? Have I sown hope into somebody? The hope of Jesus? The love of Jesus? Have I done this? Every Christian has a ministry. And James says, if you know what to do and you don't do it, it is sinful. We prayed just a little while ago. Why? Because the Lord said pray. We had an altar call here before we even began preaching. Why is that? Somebody said, well, Michael, that's backwards. You're not supposed to do that in church. We're so conditioned to sing a song and speak and then do the altar call and then go home and go to lunch and have Sunday lunch and then go about the rest of our week. It's so routine. And you know what the Lord told me? He says He's breaking that up. not just what we do in church, but what how the life even evolves right now. God is fixing to break things up. What you thought was secure will not be secure. What you thought was faithful will show itself to be unfaithful. Only God will show himself to be the secure, the faithful, the strong one. And if your house is built on the foundation of Christ, you will advance the kingdom of God. You may be the only anchor in your home. That's all you need to give God. Because if you just need to give a little foothold to the devil to do a great work, oh, how much greater with just one anchor. God can bless that. And God will bless that. Because you're anchored in Christ. So I want to encourage you to stay focused on Jesus. Matthew 16, 2 through 3. Jesus answered and said to them, "When it is evening, you say, 'It will be fair weather, for the sky is red.' And in the morning, 'It will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening.' Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times." I've had pastors get upset with me because I've spoken on end times, on prophetic things. And they said, "Michael, you just need to preach the gospel." And I think that is the stupidest thing coming out of a preacher's mouth. The end times is the gospel. Jesus said the time is at hand. Jesus said in Matthew 24, "Do not seal up the words of this book." In Revelation, he says that too. "Do not seal up the prophecy of this letter." The reason why a preacher would say that to me is because they don't even understand the full gospel of Christ. And we have bickering and fighting within the church. We're hypocrites. This preacher speaks on nothing but the rapture. This preacher speaks on nothing but grace. This preacher speaks on nothing but hellfire. I mean, preach the full counsel of God. Amen. Amen. That is a well-balanced church. That's a pretty big book right here. Amen. But it's all about the grace and the mercy and the wrath and judgment of God. And we must warn them while there is time. And we must show them there is a God in heaven, the only God that exists, who loves them. And there is a place for them if they will come to Jesus Christ. Hell is a reality, and heaven is a reality. And one day, those things will be yourself, your inheritance. And what is it? What is it that is drawing you to where you're headed right now? In Matthew 24:35, it says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away." Look around you. This earth and the ways of this world are passing away. God is not happy with this place. Though he created it, he did not cause sin to exist. God is not happy with this place. God has created a better place. The Bible says, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard what God has prepared for those who love him." So why would we want to hold on to something or to the system, the Babylonian system? Why would we want to hold on to that when God is preparing something else? And by faith, we can already have that. Matthew 6:24 says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon," that's money. James says that the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Now you think about it. Think about it. Well, why is it that so many things are happening that are done that is evil? If you look down to it, it's because of the love of money. A desire for a better career. A desire for more in your life. Greed, selfishness, pride. It all boils down to the love of money. Now, though, yes, we need to pay bills and we need to do this and that with money, but as a Christian, we're taught that we need to learn it within ourselves how to make our money serve God, not us serve money. And so you serve God with time, with talent and treasure. I'm talking about time today, but we cannot ever neglect these things. And three, they're one. Love the Lord your God with all your mind, all your body, and all your soul. You know, 1 John 2:15-17 says this: "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it's not in the Father, but it is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Look, I love going to the Astro games. Amen? But I don't worship the Astros. And if there was never any baseball anymore, then so be it. Oh, well. There are things that you like to do in this world, but when it talks about loving the world, what does it mean? It talks about anything that will separate you from following Jesus. Anything that can become idolatry in your life, that can cause you to not give your all to Jesus. That's loving the world. And it may look innocent. Well, I have to work hard because I have these little kids I have to support, and I have to do this, and I understand that. But if you work, 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 pay bills, pay bills, pay bills, and you never show them the things of Christ, what is that benefit to them? All you did was you showed them how to work hard and how to neglect the things of God. I say this because I know there are so many people that should be serving the Lord, but they're consumed with the worries of life. And that is what Satan, he makes it look like something that is so innocent. It's going to help others if you work this hard. It's going to help others if you do this. Yes, I understand that. I understand that. The simple concept is, I heard a preacher say, when my grandfather was a preacher, we didn't have this television stuff like he did in his ministry days. He only could reach a certain amount of people. He preached every day, every night, every day, every night. Travel, travel, travel. He exhausted himself, died of a heart attack. But he did the good thing, right? But it was an exhaustive work. He says, I learned as I came into my ministry about TV, about getting online, reaching more people, being able to talk to a greater people. And at the same time, having a well-balanced life. And that is what God wants you to do. In your giving, be balanced. He doesn't want you to give everything and you are broke, have nothing. That's not what a biblical giver is. God wants you to be able to give, and also that you have some for your family, but to spread it out evenly, to be well-balanced, to be well-balanced, to be a well-balanced Christian. If you're not well balanced, you'll fall to the left, you'll fall to the right. He wants you to be well balanced in everything that you do, and in your time, he wants you to be well balanced. We have an enemy who understands this. And so he'll throw busyness, anxiety, he'll throw all this at us. You know, there was a brother, and I won't say his name, Jason. Oh, excuse me. You know, he had a wreck this couple days ago. Somebody hit him, or he hit somebody. I don't know somebody hit somebody. And he's like, on top of everything else that's happening, are you serious? He didn't tell me he said that, but you know, that's what I'm thinking he probably could have said, because that's what I would have said. I'm like, are you serious? On top of this and this and this going on now, this? You know? And as Pastor Jason and I talked the next day, it's like, you know what? That's just a more reason to praise God. Because there is somebody that is trying to steal your faith. And this is all temporary stuff that we're going through. It's just for a moment. It's just for a moment. And so we have to understand that Satan does not want the kingdom of God to be advanced. You know, I'm reminded of this yesterday. I saw the Chiefs and the Dolphins play. I have not watched football in quite a bit of years. But a reason why I wanted to watch the game is because they said it was going to be 2 below 0. And I'm like, I want to see some grown men in these skimpy little outfits hitting each other in the brutal cold. I want to see that. To me, that sounds like fun. And so I turned the TV on, and by the way, I had to watch it on Peacock, and there's a whole bunch of people mad about that. You had to subscribe to Peacock, $5 a month, to watch the game. And I was like, oh, $5, that's fine, I'll do it. And so I did it, I'm watching the game, and these guys were playing their heart out. I mean, and they were hitting each other, like, man, don't hit me that hard, it's cold. No, they were hitting each other. They did not hold back. The quarterback from the Chiefs, he hit another guy so hard that a chunk of his helmet popped off. And they had to bring him another helmet in the game. And it was like, don't they know it's 2 below 0? I mean, look at the highlight video. His side of his helmet flew off. They hit so hard like that. And another receiver caught the football, ran, they hit him so hard, he went flying and his knee went straight into the ground. He got up and he's like walking like this, didn't want to get out of the game. They're playing because this is the playoffs. And the winner goes home. I mean, goes on, the loser goes home. And then I looked in the stands on the TV and there was one section, the yellow section is pretty much empty. But the bottom section and the top were just, there was still a lot of people at that game. And I'm like, I looked at Anna and said, Anna, if that was like, you know, Houston team, we're fans of that, would you go? She's like, maybe just for the memory of doing it. I don't know, but that's not something normal I would do. But these people were crazy. They showed a guy with no shirt on, had the Chiefs written all in his stomach, and he's like, ah, in 2 below 0. The dedication that they're exhibiting with their time to something that is temporary. I believe that as the church age draws to an end, the Bible says that God's people are a peculiar people. They're not accepted, they're made fun of, they're mocked, they're laughed at, they're criticized, and we ought to take a lesson from the things of the world, of their faithfulness, of their time, of their treasure. No matter what the elements say, 2 below 0. No matter what is going on in life, they're still going to praise their team. No matter what nature says, I don't believe in Mother Nature. It's just nature. It's stuff, you know, God's creation, you know. There's rain, there's cold, there's heat. They don't care. They're there because this is serious business. What's more serious, advancing to a Super Bowl or winning a lost soul?
Hallelujah.
And I think so much of the church in America has lost their way. And you're not worthy of heaven. You're worthy of hellfire. See, that would be have me kicked out of a lot of churches today for saying that. I don't care, because if Jesus is not in that church, I don't want to be in that church.
Amen.
Why is it that there are some churches that are so full, not all, but the majority of these churches that are so full are not filled with the Holy Spirit. They're preaching a doctrine that's pleasing to men. The Bible says it in 2 Thessalonians. The great apostasy will happen before the coming and terrible day of the Lord. It's a falling away from what is true. And that is what is happening. Don't let this discourage you, Christian. As a matter of fact, let it do the opposite. Let it throw you into ministry. Let it catapult you into making a difference in your community, in the life of your church, in the life of your family. If they don't want you, go somewhere else. Right now, the Lord wants me here in Alvin. And if the Lord says, go here, go there, I'll go. That may happen. We don't know. But when I do leave Alvin, Texas, by the power of the Holy Spirit, only by that will Michael be able to say, I did what I was called to do. And I hope it was pleasing to the Lord. We got to have that same attitude. No matter how cold the hearts are out there, no matter how cold society is to you, you want to honor God with your time because he gave you that time. And one day, he will bring your time to an end. You hear what I'm saying? He will bring your time to an end. This world will not last forever. Praise God. Hallelujah. I had a nice little day yesterday. I was able to go out and see my grandson David and his Brenda and Valeria and Alex, and we went to a little thing to go see a little train thing exhibit, and then went to go have lunch. And you know, it was something very simple, but it meant so much to me and Anna, just to be with people we love. and took pictures, and those are good things from God. Those are things that are eternal. Be aware of those moments. Satan is there to steal it. 1 Peter 5, 8 through 10. Peter says, be sober. Be vigilant. 1 Peter 5, 8 through 10. Be sober. What do you mean be sober? Some people say, well, I mean, don't drink. Well, hey, if it causes you to not do the things of God, yeah, don't drink. Be serious. That's what it means, truly. Be serious. Be sober. Be vigilant, meaning be persistent. Be always ready to fight the good fight of faith, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Some of you could say, he's bitten off my arm and leg already. Well, God can, he's in the business of growing you new arms and legs.
That's right.
And so if you get away from that devil and run to Jesus, you'll have your life restored. Run to the Lord now. Run to the Lord. I get excited about that. Y'all are like, you're sitting there, come on, are we alive? Hallelujah. That's what I would say. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. You hear that? What you're going through, others are going through that, and even worse. And they're still in the faith. They're still in the churches. They're still making a difference. They're still pushing back the gates of hell. We're going to be stumbling blocks or building blocks. Choose. Choose. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, he will perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. You're going to have to go through some kind of suffering. That's what Pastor Jason said here, right? You're giving. You got to feel it. If it's just, just giving it, like, that's Cain. Cain just gave something because his brother was doing it. But what did it do in the heart of Cain? When you're giving of your time, of your talent, of your treasure, it's just something to do because you know the Bible says to do it. So you're not doing it. It doesn't mean something to you. Been times up here when I'm singing. I'm not a professional musician, but I know that there's times up here I'm singing, and sometimes I can't even sing because I'm crying inside. Tears of joy. Tears of expectancy. I'm waiting for the Lord to come and take us. But we will still sing no matter what happens. No matter what happens. And I'm telling you, there are dark days ahead of us. There are dark days ahead in this world. And therefore, I choose that if I'm going to go through these dark days, I must walk in the light of Jesus Christ, or I will lose my way. You get what I'm saying? Let that sink in real hard, because some of the ones we love are walking in dark days with no light of Christ. Let that sink in real hard. Because the devil is not done. The Bible says, woe to the world, for he has been cast down, for he knows that his time is short, and he has declared war on those who hold to the testimony of Jesus Christ. He cannot declare war on what he already owns, the world. He can only declare war on what he does not own, and that is you, Christian. He's come to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus come that we may have life and life abundantly. Luke 14, 16 through 27. Jesus gives a parable of a great king. And this is a parable of God, the king in heaven, inviting people to come up to the wedding supper, to eternity. Then he said to him, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, come! For all things are ready. But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a piece of ground and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I am about to test them. I ask you to have me excused. And still another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Now, if anybody had a good excuse, it was him. Amen. Because we know how wives can be. All right, let me go on. Never mind. So that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. And the servant said, Master, it is done as you have commanded, and there's still room. There's still room in heaven.
Amen.
There's room in this church.
Amen.
There's room in heaven. Talk about a full church. We should talk about full heaven. Then the master said in verse 22, the servant said, Master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room. Verse 23, then the master said to the servant, go into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Compel. What is that word, compel? You know, you must be through the wisdom of God. You must be crafty. You must be an expert. You must know the power of God. You're compelled, meaning you will not take no for an answer. When society is saying the boy is a girl and the girl is a boy, you're going to say, no, I am compelled to speak the truth. This is what the Word of God says.
Amen.
He loves you. He created you. Don't change His ways. Don't abandon the things of God. You can look around all in society. Look at the people. They're not your enemies. These people who are into transgenderism, who are into homosexuality, who are into sexual morality and perversion, pedophiles and all this, murderers, liars, thieves, drunkards, fornicators. All of us at one point in our life were something sinful too. And these people are not your enemy. But what they do has been instigated by the spirit of Antichrist. And we must understand what it means to come before people like this and not be stained ourselves, but reveal to them the love of Christ. That takes a lot of time walking with God to understand how to do this. Our salvation is not just about us. God wants His house full. God wants the wedding banquet full. Who did you bring? Who did you invite? Who did you extend out the invitations to? Were you the one that God said go and you went and you did? Were you saying my time is His time? Were you the one that said, you know, oh, I love the world too much? Or were you the one that said, I'm looking to heaven. I'm hoping in heaven. I have so much treasure in heaven. I'm bound for heaven. And there's more treasure to put in there. We keep God in a box. And we just don't believe anymore. And we let the little sniffles of life, we let the sneezes and the little sicknesses bring us down to our knees. Woe to those when the King of Evil arrives. This has been times of testing for us. And Revelation 3:10 says, I will keep you from the hour of testing that will come upon the whole world because you kept my command to persevere. You're in the test right now. And your test will come to an end at the rapture of the church. And the whole world will be tested by the King of Evil. Verse 24, for I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. See, God had spoken to them, come, come. And they heard about the wedding. They heard that this man of great reputation, this man who was of most high royalty, and yet they said no. I can understand it this way. Because, no, I'd rather go to Burger King than go to Avenida Brazil. Y'all don't know what Avenida Brazil is, right? That's some good meat there. I'm going to tell you what, man. That's some good Brazilian meat. I mean, oh my goodness, we go every year for our Christmas ministry dinner, and oh my goodness, it's wonderful. No, I guess I'll just go and have it my way, Burger King. That don't make any sense. Making excuses. I bought too much. I bought a land. I have a relationships. All of these things are keeping you from spending time with the King. They value and want to be dictators of their own time in their own way. And the principle of simply just coming to church is a way that God teaches you how to honor Him in your time. That's why I say to everybody, show up, be on time. Because it's not about you, it's about others. Be on time, because God is always on time. That's what this is about. You don't want to be where God is. You want to do what God is at. Where is His heart? That's where your heart wants to be. Verse 25 says, now great multitudes went with Him, and He turned to them. Jesus did. Jesus turned to them and said to them, right after He gives this parable, He says, if anyone comes to Me and does not hate his father and mother and wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, his own life, he cannot be My disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after Me cannot be My disciple. What? I gotta hate my mom and dad? My mom and dad are in the back row. Mom, dad, I hate you. Is that what Jesus is saying to do? No. What He's saying is, you cannot let anything get in the way of your walk with Jesus. This is a different translation than the Greek. It's not the hate as we understand it would be, I hate you, oh, you make me sick. No, that's not what it is. It's, you cannot let anything get in the way of your relationship with Jesus. Not even your mother and your brother, your sisters, your spouse is nothing. This is His time and this is His place. And you have to bear that cross. That's that testimony. You see, look at verse 27. And whoever does not bear his cross cannot come after Me, cannot be My disciple. It's not talking about the cross of Jesus. No. It's talking about your cross. Jesus gave of His time, of His talent, and His treasure on the cross. He was anointed with the Holy Spirit from the Jordan River. He had the treasures of God. He had the talents, and He had the time. He stepped into time to give honor to His Father. He stepped from eternity into time. He chose to do this. And at the cross, they took off an expensive garment of His and they divided it up amongst the soldiers. He gave everything. Everything. He was actually on the cross naked, bruised beyond human recognition. Could not tell if He was a man or a woman. And He did that for Michael Garcia. Now, I'm not perfect, but I tell you, I stand here today and I say, Jesus, have Your way in my heart and in my life. Lord, this has been a very difficult year for us all worldwide, but I know, Lord, what Your word says, that we must bear our cross. We must take responsibility. If we say we did something wrong, admit it. If you say, no, this is the truth, say it. If you live by the truth will set you free. Amen. People may not understand you. It's okay. They never understood Jesus either. People may mock you. It's okay. They mock Jesus too. You want to make sure that you're pleasing to Jesus and not to men. And at the same time, there are many biblical Bible-believing churches that are closing their doors. And it's not because the pastor didn't have no faith or those ministry people that were there didn't have no faith, because God moved them on. And that's kind of where we are right here at Grace Christian Center. You know, it really is. And this school year, we've lost 8 students. 8. We're just halfway through the year, we lost 8 students. And it's all just because it's attacks from the enemy, trying to uproot and destroy and to kill. We have to recognize that. Not just Grace Christian Center, but all the Bible-believing churches, they're in need of help. And I've always said it, God loves people through his people. Remain one of his people and keep serving. Get involved. Your Christian life is not about just coming to church on Sundays and that's it. It's so much more than that. It's so much more. You must bear your cross. And that's going to require sacrifice. Your time, your talent, your treasure. There will be many on his left and say, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we pray to you? Didn't we call out your name? Didn't we cast out demons? Didn't we heal the sick? And Jesus will tell them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. That's in the Bible. That literally scares the hell out of me. It does. We have to be honest in the house of God. I'm like, Lord, am I right with you, Lord? Lord, is my heart right? Lord, I don't want to end up in hell. Please, Lord, if I'm doing something wrong, tell me. We must bear our cross. In Colossians 3:23, and whatever you do, do it as heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Look, you got to hear that this morning in regards to your time. Do it for Jesus. Even though it was blessing others, you did it for Jesus. Even though it was blessing others, you know that, but you did it for Jesus. I've always had the habit throughout this almost 17 years of preaching as a senior pastor. I would tell Anna, how did I sound? Was that okay? Was that a good message? Say, yes, Michael, that was very good. And I'm like, you're just saying that. And one day the Lord said, what do you want to hear? You sounded good? Or was that a biblical message? I'm like, well, Lord, I'm being honest. I think it's a little bit of both, you know. I don't want to sound up there like a rambling dummy. And so at the same time, you know, Anna knows the word. Anna, did I say anything that wasn't biblically right? You know, you want to do it as unto the Lord. And sometimes you're not going to get an answer from the Lord. But you just have to have that right attitude. Lord, did I do it right, Lord? Did you accept this, Lord? Is this good for you, Lord? Please. And throughout the years, sometimes you'll say that and you didn't really mean it. But then he has a way of bringing you back and saying, where you begin to ask, Lord, did I do this? Was it pleasing to you? And when your heart is right, he'll open the door. He'll pour out the window blessing that you will not be able to contain it. Look, my prayers are not just for my family. My prayers are for the family. It's for the family of God, period. I think about the other pastors and broke my heart. I saw a little documentary that came out about 10 years ago. Oh my goodness. It was a little church here in Texas. And for the life of me, Mon and I watched tons of documentaries on things, all kinds of subjects. And there was this pastor who was been serving in this little bitty church for 60 years. Old guy. He gets up on Sunday mornings. They just want to document his routine. He gets in there. He vacuums the church. And he's cleaning up everything. And he gets his sermon together. And just a handful of people show up. And when I saw that, I was like, he was doing it as unto the Lord. Did not care about reputation. did not care about anything else, but he was doing it unto the Lord. I tell Valeria, you'll never know how many lives were touched by your ministry. You being there, putting the scriptures in the camera and getting all that going, and others here in this ministry. You'll never know how you contributed to somebody getting the gospel of Christ. Be a part of that great work. Be a part of that great work. Romans 10, 14 through 15. How then shall they call on Jesus, whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him, of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. You, Christian, your feet are beautiful in the eyes of God because you bring the gospel of God to the people. Whatever it is you're doing in serving Christ, you are the preachers of peace, the preachers of righteousness. And God says you're beautiful. Amen. Isaiah 6:8. The prophet says, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And Isaiah said, here I am, Lord, send me. God is going to raise up those who have that spirit of Isaiah. Send me, Lord, I'll go. And in Genesis 12, 1 through 4, the Lord had said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. No matter how young you are, no matter how old you are, when God says go, you go, and there's going to be a blessing. That's where you get up and shout, amen, hallelujah. And God is telling his people today, go. Go. Serve. Be faithful. What did Jesus say? Hate your mother, hate your father for my name's sake. And he tells Abraham, leave your father's house, leave your family. I have something else for you. So that others may be blessed, so that others would live. If Abraham not done what he had done, what would have the story been like for his life? God was still going to do this. The church would still be here, but Abraham would have missed out. And there's a lot of lineages that are missing out because somewhere up the family tree, somebody said no. Amen. And that's the generation we're in today in the church. Many are saying no. Many could care less. And those are the ones with the blood on their hands. Those are the ones that will have to give an accounting as the blood of Abel cries out from the ground to this day. As the blood of those that have been aborted in the womb cries out to the Lord for justice. As those that are under the altar of God, as the book of Revelation says, they cry out for when the Lord would judge the inhabitants of the earth, and they were given a white coat and they were told to wait a little longer until more martyrdom was done upon the earth. I'm telling you, there's got to be a holy cry within the church of Jesus Christ that we get up, that we serve, and that we honor God with our time. Because other churches are closing down because there's no love that's keeping it open. Moses had to move on. John the Baptist had to decrease so he could increase. And we need to go. We need to go. In Jesus' name.